Hey, kids, it's time for
Surf Shorts!
Welcome to the Surf Shorts podcast, an innovator in modern storytelling, looking towards the future, using business terms like radical, off the lip, caught inside, and totally tubular. Surf Shorts, the storytelling podcast, recorded on VHS, then downloaded to cassette for maximum audio quality. It's totally radical.
Surf Shorts, brought to you by the good people at...
Oh, it's not crickets anymore, people. Outer Banks Hammocks, brought to you by Outer Banks Hammocks. Outer Banks Hammocks, for the ultimate lay. You can reach them on the internet at obxhammocks.com. They've got all kinds of stuff for you now. Obviously, they have hammocks and swings and chairs, and now they're breaking into outdoor furniture. They've got a lot of outdoor furniture, high-end stuff, Three Birds Casual Teak, Outer Banks Aluminum and Resin Wicker, Polly's Island Durawood, Summer Classics. They've got it all. Hit them up at OuterBanksHammocks.com. That's OBXHammocks.com/outdoor-furniture. Outer Banks Hammocks for the ultimate lay.
Surf Shorts Podcast.
What's up, everyone? Thanks so much. Thanks so much for tuning in to Surf Shorts. We're back this Thursday, and today I've got with me James. What's up, dude?
Hey, man. What's happening? Thanks for having me.
Hey, man. Super stoked to have you here. You know, we ran in different parts of the same circle for a long time.
I think so, man. It's not that big a town, and I've certainly have probably cut you off a couple times in the water. Not on purpose.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. At C Street, I think that's part of the ritual, right?
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, you've done a ton of surfing, man, mm-hmm. ton of traveling. And we'll obviously mention this on the show several times. You just came out with a cookbook. You're a very successful chef.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you've earned it. And mm-hmm. you've done television, now books, mm-hmm. at least two different successful restaurants that I know about. And I'm sure other ventures in the food business. And this will just have to be local. People listen to the show, you know, from here to California. I have some people in Costa Rica listening or whatever. Nice. But to talk about it locally, you know, you are one of the restaurant people. You feed the surfers.
Well, thank you. It's a glutton for punishment business, I guess. But, you know, growing up, as you were a young kid, you wanted to surf as much as possible. So you would go get a job in a restaurant and work at night so you could surf all day. So that was kind of the premise of me starting my career, really, as well as getting more time in the water.
Yeah. And I found that interesting. I was reading in your book. Tell everybody the name of your book.
Surf and Provision.
Surf and Provision.
Yep. That's right. And there's this kind of like an overview of kind of like a surfer's life meets a chef's life. You know, it's kind of a combination of cooking and recipes and also some great stories and kind of like shouting out different parts of the world with the kind of the foods that you maybe didn't really think about you when you were there. But when you get home, you miss that taste of that kind of food.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've said this on the show before for me personally, because I read a bunch of your personal things. And we'll tell them for me personally, it was the Costa Rican breakfast that I brought home. Mm-hmm. You know, fruit and rice and eggs. You know, you're well-traveled. What's something that you immediately brought back?
I mean, that was definitely one, you know, but it's funny, like it's in different stages. When I was a young surf traveler on a very tight budget, it was surf as much as you can all day long and just eat rice and beans. And you didn't care about anything other than the waves.
Sure.
But now that as I've gotten a little older, of course, you know, I like to go to a surf trip and surf, of course, my brain's out. But I also like to look and see what type of foods are indigenous or local dishes are special. Also the culture and things. So for me, kind of the foods, everywhere I go, I see something I like and bring back as part of my kind of cooking repertoire now.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about you today. I made some show notes and I'll wrinkle the paper so everybody really knows I have. Everybody knows I really actually have some notes here.
I see them.
Yeah, you can attest. I'll hold them up for the video. But I was thinking about you, you know, in our town, when I think my personal experience, and there are a lot of, I know chefs, several chefs, mm-hmm. but when I think about successful restaurants, I think about you, I think about Josh, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And then my personal friend Bernard, mm-hmm. who, and his restaurant, the King Neptune, was different than y'all's, because you could just go get fried something. But he did, you know, he had like a Caribbean thing that no one else at that time had going on. And you had your thing.
Oh, I did. But, you know, yeah. Also, I worked for Bernard at Neptune.
Get out of here.
One of my early restaurant jobs that was so good to work there because you would go prep up the food. Then you would run out and surf for like 45 minutes before dinner service started. Come back soaking wet in your bathing suit and dry out by the oven and then cook all night. And so, yeah, I knew Bernard real well. And
it's awesome.
Yeah. It's a classic place.
For sure. Yeah. I was like sort of connecting the dots. And then you three people, y'all are the ones that really stuck out to me like that.
Yeah.
So you were going to tell me about a surf trip that.
Yeah. I always blow my kids' minds when I tell them the things we kind of pulled off when we were young. So in the back of Surfer magazines, this dates me real quick.
Oh, yeah.
There was an ad that said guided tours to Barbados. And somehow myself and two friends talked our parents into letting us go.
Yeah. How old are you? How old?
15.
So, wow.
15 and 16.
Wow. Some extremely cool parents, man. Yeah,
it was great. So
is this one of those, because, you know, some people that listen to the show are not our age. So kids, kids, listen up. You used to flip through the back of Surfer Mag. And then also, as Jim on an earlier show mentioned, you would see pictures and they would never tell you where the pictures were from. But after you got done looking at the mysterious pictures of unknown locations in the back of the magazine, there would be all these like little 16th, eighth of a page ads. Sometimes the cheapest ones were in black and white. So is that what you were looking at?
Yeah, exactly. And just kind of stuck together in the back of the magazine, basically. And it said guided tour of Barbados. And so this was our chance to go see the world. So we fly down to Miami and again, 15 and 16 year olds.
Good Lord.
And we get there and our guide, our professional guide, if you will, was coming from California along with one other guy. Well, the other guy didn't make his flight. So we got to the Miami airport and our guide says, you guys can stay overnight in Miami airport. And we'll all go together, or you guys can go on down. And of course, we're going to go on down.
Yeah. What are you going to do? What are you going to do in Miami? You're not going to surf. I mean, there's surf sometimes, but you know, you can pull it off.
So we get down there, and you know, the steering wheel in a car is in Barbados on the wrong side.
Yep.
And the lane's on the wrong side.
Yep.
I don't know how we got his rental car. They gave it to us. So we hit every curb in Barbados, probably trying to find a wave.
Hey, let me ask you about the car, because this has happened to me. Was it a stick also?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So we grind it till we find it. And so we found a little wave. I think, I don't know what side of the island was even on, but it was a beautiful, I mean, Caribbean blue fire car, a little left peeler. And it was just like the first wave we'd ever seen outside Wrightsville Beach.
Yeah.
It was just like that moment.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was like chest high. It wasn't very big. So we surfed there quite a while and had a great time. Went and found some dinner. Next morning, we woke up in the apartment we were in. He's still nowhere to be seen. And we immediately have to go to Soup Bowls and Parlors out to the east side of the island.
So you're rolling up to Soup Bowls like completely uninformed.
We're ready to roll out there. You know, there's no iPhone, find my iPhone or anything out there.
Yeah.
So we get there and Parlors was by far the biggest we'd ever seen it, a wave. And we initially just, of course, paddled right out, not knowing where the rocks were, the reefs, and go out there. And if my parents had seen how big the waves were when we were surfing, they definitely would have lost it.
Oh, yeah.
So we surfed quite a bit there all day. I nearly had a really bad hold down on one wave where this happened in Haleiwa last year where, you know, a big wave comes, you ditch your board.
Right.
You go dive down, you're cool. You know, you're kind of getting swirled around. Okay, I'm relaxed. And then you say, okay, this wave's passing. I'm ready to come back up. I don't know if it's the force of the next wave coming or if it's from the original wave you dove under.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like an undulation that pulls you down even deeper. So it's kind of like a second stage of being held in the water where the first, I don't know, it seems like an hour.
Yeah.
The first few seconds are pretty easy. Then you pull down even deeper where your ears are popping.
Yeah.
You feel your board, you know, way above you. So you know you're on the wrong side of the tracks.
You are tombstoning.
Yeah. And you know what's coming too. You know, another wave's coming. So I got up just as the nick of time to get a breath before another one came and washed me over. And man, it scared the mess out of me.
Yeah. Was the water clear?
And it was clear. Yeah. I opened my eyes. Yeah. That gave me some comfort. So then we decided to drift down to Soup Bowls, which, you know, again, it was pretty solid and pretty lumpy. You know how it gets down there.
It does. It throws it. It throws it.
So in between that, I'm not sure what that wave is called, but it's, I don't think it's really a wave, but I caught this one screamer going so fast. And I'm just seeing these big rock heads, coral heads sticking up, dive off my board. My bathing suit gets ripped off my person. And luckily my leash stayed on. Yeah. And I get absolutely just smoked from these waves into this little coral head area.
Yeah.
Survive that somehow. And we surfed suit bowls that all day.
Did your surfboard survive that?
It did. So I took a few dings, but we survived it. And we had a great time and then went back and ate again. Finally, our guide and the other guy came. And they went to bed, got in late, so we all went to bed, back out to soup bowls the next day, and it dropped some, but it was still so big, even the guide wouldn't even go out.
Wow.
So we're like, this is nothing compared to yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. So you had already given yourself a good initiation.
Yeah.
Off of just sheer ignorant bliss.
Just total ignorant bliss. And had a great time. Love the culture, the community, people are there. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah. So did you get some good barrels there?
Man, I was too scared. It was the first time I ever surfed, and I was just like trying to hang on most of the time until it died down. We had some fun, kind of more performance-y waves.
Yeah.
But initially, it's just trying to figure out how to get into them and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, soup bowls is a pretty difficult wave to surf, and I've never surfed it, but I've seen plenty of video. Oh, who's our man? Who was the guy? Was so good. He was local. Was it Mark Holder?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mark Holder. Yeah, I watched many videos. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Kevin Welsh did some videos with him in it, the Surf Energy series. Mm-hmm. But that wave, I was like, oh, that wave looks like really weird, a little bit weird and really just throwing out.
Yeah, it's not a perfect barrel as you picture, you know, but as Kelly Slater is going down there all the time and just the power and the way it bends at you, it's just a unique wave that. Is not user friendly. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I didn't mean it wasn't an incredible wave. Mm-hmm. I was just saying for someone, especially a kid that's been surfing at Risal Beach, it's not like this. Hey, I'm going to paddle in. I'm going to stand up and do this lazy bottom turn and then just, you know, sit here under the lip. Nope.
Yeah. No. It's a whole different ball game. So we survived that one and I don't think we ever told our parents what actually happened on that trip. So I hope mom and dad aren't listening.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope they do.
Yeah. No, they will.
So let me ask you this. I've talked about this with a guest before. You roll out, you know, straight out of Risal Beach and you catch that first chest high wave in Barbados. Mm-hmm. Could you see the reef going by beneath you?
Oh, yeah. And I was hooked. I love surfing over reef ever since then. I don't know why. It's the beauty, of course, but just the power, man. You know, I'm a bigger guy, so I love some good power in a wave. And it's just incredible, you know.
Yeah. My first one, I'd surfed some reef breaks before, but the first one that really like caught me off guard with like the absolutely stunningly clear water and the magazine look was Wilderness.
Oh yeah.
And Wilderness on the small day and the tide was pretty low. So it was shallow and it really just puckered me up. I was like, because you know, the magnetic effect of the water, you know, with refraction or whatever. And that's exactly what it's called, kid. That's the science teacher coming at me. But with the magnification of the reef, it makes the water seem so much more shallow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And getting to share that with my kids in PR a couple of years ago, they were just blown away. I could just see that they were so excited. And dad is, you know, 6 inches deep. I'm like, no, it's like 4 feet deep. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, when you got drug over the reef, how did that work out for you?
Man, it didn't feel too good. I've been escaped some pretty good reef thrashings and not gotten too dinged up overall. So
you didn't get any lime juice?
Didn't have to get the lime juice too bad, no. So, it was a great experience from then on. I've loved travel and loved, again, I was watching the guys play cricket up above the hill there and, you know, in Barbados. And just seeing different way people live, it's really cool. And, of course, trying different foods that you never had.
Yeah. Oh, the foods, absolutely. But, you know, also like you're watching cricket, you're like, what are the rules here, guys? Yeah. Like, it seems like nothing in particular.
Yeah. And it's awesome, you know?
Yeah. It's awesome.
So cool.
You said the way people live. Mm-hmm. One of my first surf trips, and I won't mention where it was, but it was in an area of a country that was it's pretty poor. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really poor. Like the people were happy, but and life was simple, right?
Yeah.
But there weren't any jobs in that area. People did a lot of fishing and stuff, but it occurred to me, and this was in the early 90s, probably. It occurred to me at the time, hey, this is how my mother grew up. My mother grew up in the mountains of North Carolina. You know, not in the middle of any town or anything particular, but, you know, here I was, you know, many years after my mother grew up, and these people were basically living in the exact same way with, like, their houses weren't big. Everything was simple. Electricity was basic. I'm sure you've probably hung your wet towel over what you thought was a clothesline and gotten shocked before in the country. Am I wrong?
True story. Yes.
I bet there are a lot of people in their cars right now just nodding their heads going, yes.
That is it.
But, you know, I was like, you know, I immediately was old enough to recognize these people aren't poor. Their life is good.
Yeah.
Right. It's pure and they eat good food. For sure. It's really like, for me, like how my mom grew up. She grew up, they weren't wealthy, simple life in the country.
Something to be said for it. You know, I mean, I've never met a person on a surf trip that wasn't happy, honestly, overall, maybe some local, grumpy local in the lineup.
Yeah,
the people in general, wherever you go, no matter what they have, they just seem happy, you know, and I think there's a lot to be learned from that.
I do too. I think American culture could learn a lot from enjoying a simplified life. And the last thing I'll say about it is, you know, that's the pandemic has done that to people. It's done a lot of, you know, bad things for people's lives, but it's, you know, obviously death. And I'm not talking about that. You know, I'm saying people's attitudes, and the pandemic's gotten people outside.
Yes.
And it's also gotten a lot of people away from their jobs that just ruled their lives.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we could take something good from something like that.
Yeah, that's, I think that's great.
But then again, we need some people to work in the kitchen.
I know. I wanted to take some time off for sure, but I couldn't do that. But yeah, I think that's the way of the future. And it kind of opened my eyes at the pandemic about just where you're spending your time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, bro, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And we're going to have you on again. I really do appreciate it. And tell us the name of the book.
Surf Improvision Cookbook. SurfSaltSeasonings.com is the website that has that, some seasonings and a few little goodies on there. They'll also have more recipes coming on the site as well.
Before we go, say, Matt, you put a lot of stories in the book. There's a lot of thought put into the book. An interesting thing about your book is it looks old fashioned. That is not an insult. That's on purpose.
Yeah, entirely.
Yeah, yeah. It's entirely on purpose. It looks like something your grandmother would have back there on the back, you know, maybe behind the toaster area, behind the old percolating coffee pot. You could reach back there and pull out. That's what it looks like, which is cool.
True.
And you don't put pictures of the food all throughout the book. I thought that was really neat.
Well, again, it is a throwback to the old junior league books, to the old, like, gas station cookbooks you might find in rural Florida or wherever.
Yeah.
Usually those had the truest, most authentic recipes for a culture and cuisine. So, and they didn't have pictures.
Yeah.
There's so many pictures of food these days. It's almost overwhelming. And if you see a recipe with this beautiful picture, it's hard to make it look just like that. And really, they're missing the point. The point is you making it and doing it in kind of in your own way and trusting and learning yourself to trust your palate, to learn how to season with a little bit more cilantro or a little less lime juice. That's the way to cook easy and quick, not with these big fancy pitchers.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. That really was an interesting take on it. I did like that.
Cool, man.
All right. Well, thanks, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Everyone, thank you so much for listening to Surf Shorts this week. It's a great episode. James is a really cool dude. He is a well-traveled surfer and certainly a successful chef and businessman. I'm going to mention this book again. It's Surf and Provision. You can find pictures of the book on our Instagram at Surf Shorts Podcast. You can also follow him at Surf Salt Seasonings on Instagram, and I'm sure on the World Wide Web. But the book really is nice. If you know someone that is a surfer and also likes to cook, it really is something to buy them. It's got a bunch of neat stories in it, a lot of tips on handling food, and it's just an old-fashioned cookbook, and I really dig it. Again, you can find us on Instagram at Surf Shorts Podcast. You can find us on TikTok, but I'm not dancing, at Surf Shorts Podcast. We're on the World Wide Web, surfshortspodcast.com, and obviously on Facebook at Surf Shorts Podcast. If you have a great story,
please just shoot me an email or DM me, and we'll get you on the show. Thanks again, y'all. Everybody have a great week. Peace out from Surf Shorts.